Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Today we are going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And into chapter 13. And the topic that we're going to be looking at is boxes of love. Boxes of love. We are in the middle of learning all about the special tools that God gives to each of us so that we can love our brothers and sisters in Christ through how we serve one another, right? God gives us these amazing tools. And this morning I was talking with Bethany about this, about our passage today. I was like, man, there's so many different ways I could have illustrated this. And one of them, I was like, man, I wanted to bring my tools in one part because that really describes how to help it. But I also wanted to use boxes because that also describes a great way to do it. But these things that God gives us, these tools that God gives us, we call them the spiritual gifts, the spiritual gifts. The Bible lists all kinds of these spiritual gifts, right? But the purpose of these gifts is the same. It is to use them to love others around you. God has given each of us spiritual gifts, and those gifts are used to love and serve those around us to help them and support them in their walk with Jesus, right? Let's look real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says this, "For as the body is one," remember we talked about the body last week, the body of Christ, "as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Remember how we talked about that? Each body, each part of your body does two things. One, it gives help to the rest of the body, but it also receives help from the rest of the body. All of the body works together beautifully to help others in their other parts of the body and their weaknesses, and also to receive help in its own weaknesses, right? And this is exactly how God designed and equipped each of us as part of the body of Christ. He gives you strengths that are uniquely fit to you through the help of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts that help you to support the rest of the body. And He also gives the rest of the body spiritual gifts to help you in your weaknesses. Each one of us is designed uniquely and perfectly to fit the body in a way to help and to serve and to love the rest of the body. He reminds us of all of this. Verse 18, let's keep looking. Verse 18. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleaseth Him." God knows exactly what our church family needs. And He uniquely takes care of each of us. He knows what spiritual gifts that we need, and He knows who to give them to, and how much of that to give to them so that we can display, our church family can display the glory and love of God exactly in the way that God wants us to. This is awesome. This is amazing how God works all this out. Now Paul's going to continue to teach the Corinthian church family more about their spiritual gifts, and it's specifically reminding them to see their spiritual gifts in the right way. The way you see your spiritual gifts is incredibly important. One of the amazing things about the Corinthian church family is they really wanted to use their spiritual gifts. They were earnestly pursuing them, and that is an awesome thing because these are amazing gifts, amazing tools that God gives us to help the body of Christ to grow. They're awesome. The one issue that the Corinthian church had was this. They did not recognize the ultimate purpose for the gifts and their self-centeredness, as it has often been displayed throughout the life of the church of Corinth, right? We've often seen how the self-centeredness has really affected the way that they are able to love one another in the way that God wants them to. We saw it like how they displayed the Lord's Supper. We saw it in how they were self-centered in the people that they served. We saw it in all, even in their liberties. We saw their self-centeredness being displayed in their liberties and how it affected the how they related, how they interacted with one another. We also see this kind of self-centeredness poking its head up again in the way that they saw their spiritual gifts. So Paul is once again reminding them to take their eyes off of themselves and onto one another in how they saw and how they used their spiritual gifts. We're going to see over the next couple of chapters that the Corinthian church were pursuing certain gifts. And it seems that they were trying to use those spiritual gifts rather than to build up the body of Christ, their brothers and sisters. It seems like they were using those spiritual gifts to build up themselves, and it was actually causing problems in their gatherings, in how they worshiped corporately as a body of Christ. It was affecting it. And so Paul was like, okay, let's start from the basics here. Look at your spiritual gifts. I'm going to show you the proper way to see what your spiritual gifts are and how you are to use them. He's wanting them to see their gifts in the right way. And he says, pursue these gifts. This is really important. He says, pursue them, want them, desire them, go after them. But recognize, as good and as wonderful and as valuable as these gifts are, it's very important to understand what their purpose is. Paul wants them to see that. So let's take a look at our passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 27. This is, man, I tell you what, I've been studying this all week. Not just this passage, but all the passages surrounding this. And I've just been like blown away at the design that God has given to his church family and how he helps us care for one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Remember, guys, he brings it back to, as you think about your spiritual gifts, don't forget that you are the body of Christ. Each of you are part of the body, and help all of you as a church family to grow and be built up. God gives each of us spiritual gifts to help us do that. So through the next verse, he gives us a list of some of the gifts that God uses to help the Corinthian church to be built up, and us too. He says this, verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. These are all kinds of different spiritual gifts that Paul listed, and I think it might be helpful for us to kind of go over these gifts just to give us a brief description, a brief understanding of what each of these spiritual gifts are, because that's going to be helpful for us. We can read a whole bunch of lists, but not like really get what they're all talking about, so it's helpful for us to look at that. He says God has set some in the church, first apostles, those who were sent by Jesus to proclaim and to reveal the mysteries of God. Paul often talks about the mysteries of God being revealed, being manifested. And specifically in this age, these mysteries that were hidden before us, but now through the strength and power of the Holy Spirit has revealed these amazing mysteries, the great plan that God has set in motion, as God has set into motion, called the gospel. The great plan of God's revealing of this great mystery of how he planned to redeem us and set us apart for him, the great mystery being revealed, and he does that revealing through the apostles, prophets, those who are sent. The prophets are really interesting. Apostles often prophesied, but what's interesting is prophets had a very specific role, a very interesting role. Often in the Bible, you see prophets being talked about, especially when you talk about through Acts. And usually these prophets are part of the local church family. As the apostles are traveling around sharing the great truths, the mysteries of God, the prophets did a very similar thing in a very local context. All scripture had not been revealed to them at the time. And so at each church, God had placed certain people to help them to understand, to reveal the mysteries of God's truth, who helped them in a very local way by supernaturally revealing the truths of God to them. You see prophets listed, and oftentimes they're in one place caring for one body of believers. That was their role. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. These are teachers. These teachers are those who have the supernatural ability to take the deep truths of God and to share them with the church family in a way that they could understand, but also apply to their lives. These great mysteries of God, these great truths of God that were being revealed. Okay, this is an awesome time-transcending truth, right? But how does this apply to me? This is where teachers supernaturally, through the wisdom of God, taught scripture, taught the truths of God in a way that people could not only recognize and understand, but also how to live out how those truths applied to them. Isn't that interesting? Just amazing how God works through this. Moving on, thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Miracles serve the body of Christ in two ways. One way was a clearly obvious one, to help meet their needs, to help meet the needs of those who are in the body of Christ and also to those around the church family. That's an amazing and important thing, to build up the body of Christ. The other thing that's really interesting, it is also used to confirm the message of those who revealed the truths of God. So somebody's speaking, and how do we know that what this person is saying is from the truths of God? It's interesting, those who are outside the church saw those things happening and was like, wow, this is not normal. You know what I mean? There's something here. There's something to this. If you read through scripture, especially like if you go through Acts, it's very interesting how miracles and even healings too, the second part here, after these things happened, it's amazing how many times after seeing those things that you see this thing, this phrase being where many people were added to the church, or many people believed God, or many people trusted in Christ. Miracles helped. Miracles also helped those meet the needs. And they also helped to be a tool used to evangelize those around them. Healing is the same thing. Healing, miracles and healings, probably the healing focus was more on sicknesses and disabilities and things like that, but had the same purpose, to take care of the body of Christ, to take care of those around them, and also to confirm the truths that were being spoken. Next, helps. What is helps? Helps is the supernatural gift. It's interesting, all of these spiritual gifts are supernatural. Not just the specific few, all of them. The Holy Spirit's help. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit in which He enables us to do things that would normally not be possible without His help. Help is the supernatural gift of seeing others' physical or material needs and then knowing how best to meet them. It's like this, like you can see what people need, and you have this like innate desire, and you know how to take care of it. Amazing. Helps. The supernatural gift. Governments. This is simply described as like leading or ruling. It is the supernatural ability to lead brothers and sisters in Christ to grow in their walk with Jesus, leading others to follow Jesus, or leading others to help them to accomplish tasks to display God's love or glory around them. Leading people in their walk with Jesus, or leading people to do things that display the glory of God. And the last one, diversities of tongues. the supernatural ability to reveal the truths of God in other languages. It's an amazing thing that God has given that supernatural gift of revealing the truths of God in other languages. All of these gifts are designed to serve the body of Christ. God gave all of this to us to serve the body of Christ. But what's really interesting is this. Not one single gift, not one single spiritual gift was designed for everyone in the body to have. All of these gifts are amazing, but not one of them was designed for everyone to have. Look at the next verse, 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? If you look, read between the lines, there's a no, like if you can see it right there. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Verse 30, have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? Not everyone was supposed to be an apostle. Not everyone was supposed to be a prophet or a teacher. Not everyone was supposed to be able to do miracles or heal people or even speak in other languages or even interpret them. And this is probably one of the issues is maybe the Corinthian church, because if you look, as we're going to study through this passage, Paul kind of points to the gift of speaking in tongues. And he kind of focuses in on that a little bit. And maybe, we don't know this for sure, but maybe it was because that was where the Corinthian church was kind of focused in on a little bit. Everybody wanted to speak in tongues. And there's a possibility for that. You have to read in between the lines in order to get that. So just take that with a grain of salt, okay? But there seems to be some kind of a focus there on everyone wanting to have one of those spiritual gifts. And Paul's saying, look, whatever spiritual gift you're pursuing is a great spiritual gift. It's awesome. It's amazing how it can be used to help build up the body of Christ. But remember for a second that it isn't about the spiritual gift. It isn't about one spiritual gift. There's so much more to these spiritual gifts than the spiritual gifts themselves. And verse 31, he says something very interesting. He says this. But covet, I read this and I was like, wait a second, what is he talking about here? But covet earnestly the best gifts. Time out, wait a second. Didn't he just say, not all of the gifts are for everybody? And then he tells everybody, hey guys, look out for the gifts, pursue the best gifts. Well, which one are we supposed to be looking for? Which one are we supposed to be pursuing? Which first you tell us not all of the gifts are for everybody, and now you're telling us to pursue the best gifts. And the question is, which ones are we supposed to pursue? Have you ever wondered that in your life? Which is the spiritual gift that I am supposed to pursue? What gift do I know? Which one do I know to pursue in my life? Paul's answer is really interesting. He says, I show unto you a more excellent way. He's saying, look at your spiritual gifts in a different way. He reveals, this is amazing, he reveals the secret to pursuing spiritual gifts. What's the secret? He tells them to look past the gifts and instead to look at what the gifts are designed to deliver. The next three verses, Paul completely flips the perspective of spiritual gifts. He uses a couple of spiritual gifts as an example to help us to see what he's talking about here. But all of this mindset can be applied to all of the spiritual gifts. And here's what he does. In the next verse, he takes, and this is going into chapter 13, but it really flows. It's like one flowing conversation. He takes each gift and he takes it to the max, takes it to the maximum level, the absolute best way, the greatest way that those gifts could be used, only to show that if they don't do what they were designed to do, they don't become much help. Let's look at it. Verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If I could speak any language that man speaks to proclaim the truths of God, any language that exists, if I could speak that language to tell them about the truths of God, let's go beyond every language of man. Let's go to the language of the angels. If I could speak the language of the angels. And yet, I don't have love. If I could speak in a way that is so beautiful and so captivating in whatever language it is, and be able to help people and use that in such an amazing way so that so captivating that people would want to hear every word that comes out of my mouth, it would be absolutely useless if I didn't have what? Love. See, that's the key. That's the key for the gifts. We see these boxes here. Each of these boxes, you could be the most beautiful box. Here's a great box. It's a beautiful box, wonderfully wrapped together. And it's got a nice wrap, gift wrapping. It's got a nice bow on. The box looks incredible. But let's say you wanted to give this box to somebody and you're like, I was thinking about you and I wanted you to have this gift. And they're like, oh, wow, this is an amazing box. This is so beautiful. And then they try to open it up. Let me try to open this box up here. And then they try to open it up. And inside there's nothing in it. It's an awesome box. Looks great. And he goes, oh man, oh my bad. You know, I was so excited about the box itself. I kind of just got wrapped up in it. See that? Get that? Okay, thank you so much. I just kind of got wrapped up in the box and I forgot to give the gift inside. It's a great box. It does amazing things. It's beautiful to look at. But if it doesn't do what it was designed to do, which was to deliver love, as good as the box is, it only becomes a box. See that? That's kind of what Paul is trying to say. He says, if I have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You could have the most beautiful voice that can communicate in any language, but if you don't use it to deliver the package of love, it doesn't matter. It just becomes an annoying sound. Like someone playing the drums in your apartment at 3 o'clock in the morning. They may play well. They may play amazing. But for you, it doesn't matter how good they play. Does that make sense? This is what Paul's trying to teach here. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, the gift of prophecy, to be able to reveal the mysteries of God that we just talked about, to be able to explain all of the deep truths of God and knowledge, to be able to help you to see how those truths are in your life, like a newspaper, to reveal all the truths, to be able to tell people all kinds of things. And yet if I don't use that amazing spiritual gift to do what it was designed to do, which is to deliver love, then it simply becomes words. Does that make sense? Just words. Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Faith to remove mountains. Faith is interesting. Jesus said that if you have faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed, of the size of a mustard seed, you could have enough faith to move mountains, right? You could tell the mountain to move into the sea and it would do it. And here Paul says, listen, if you had enough faith to move mountains, to remove mountains, that would be pretty awesome, right? You see that connection there? If you had that much faith, which really tells us a lot about how much faith we actually have, doesn't it? If those two are connected like that. And it's amazing how God uses the little faith that we have. But let's say you had enough faith to remove mountains. When's the last time you saw somebody do that? It's been a while. If you had enough faith to remove mountains, a big faith that's big like this, big and powerful and strong enough to carry lots of bread from Costco. We know this box. Nolan and I know this. Ben and I, we all know this box really well. It takes bread all over the place. Huge box, sturdy, strong. It can take whatever bread we put in there. As strong as it is, as powerful as it is, if it doesn't deliver what it was designed to deliver, it just becomes a big box. See that? Giving. If I have enough removed mountains and have not faith or charity, if I don't have love, I am nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. This is interesting. Giving. Giving is an interesting spiritual gift, because when you use it in the right way, it benefits others, but it also benefits you too. It profits you too. As you give to those around you, Jesus tells you that you store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Remember what Jesus said to the rich young ruler? What must I do to inherit everlasting life? Jesus said, go sell your goods and give them to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and then come follow me. Let's take giving to the max. If you sell all your goods and you give them to the poor, all that, but let's go beyond that. Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Let's go that far. Let's give your body up. But what happens if you take that spiritual gift of giving that far, and yet you totally miss the point of the spiritual gift, that we give to love? What happens when the gift of giving doesn't deliver what it was designed to deliver? You can give everything. You can give all of the things that you have at great expense to yourself. And yet you open it up, and it doesn't deliver the one gift, love. It just becomes an expensive box. It's not about the gift. The gift is amazing. God gives us things that are good and helpful. These spiritual gifts can do amazing things. They can deliver all kinds of love in all kinds of ways. They're amazing tools that help us build the body of Christ. But if we don't use them in the right way, it's like buying a drill and trying to saw with it. That's not what it was designed for. It's buying a saw so that you can measure something. It might be a great saw if it's used for the purpose of a saw. This is where Paul is talking about. It's not about the gift. So here's the question. When Paul says, pursue the best gifts, think about this. He says, pursue the best gifts. Maybe, just maybe, Paul wants us to think not about any specific spiritual gift, but rather find the best box that will help you to deliver love to those around you. The purpose of the box is to deliver love. And for each of us, that box is going to be a little bit different. It doesn't have to be the same box. Maybe it's not about focusing on how can I make my spiritual gift the best that it can be, but rather how can I love my church family the best way, and then asking God to help you, to show you how to do that. And then take whatever box you have. Doesn't have to be pretty. Doesn't have to be expensive. Doesn't have to be fancy. Doesn't have to be big. If the box that you have, when you open it up and you're able to deliver love, like that, love. Thanks, babe, for making that. If it delivers love, then it has done what it was designed to do. This love, if God says, I gave you the gift of giving, when you put love in here, then it does what it's supposed to do. I'm not going to do it to all of it. When you put faith in this big box, faith. If you put faith in the big box, powerful, big enough to move mountains, that kind of faith, when you put faith, when you put love in the big box, and guess what it does? It delivers what it was meant to deliver. Same with all these other boxes. God gives us the exact spiritual tools that we need. He knows exactly what our church family needs, and he gives us the spiritual gifts to be able to love our church family. Each of us, each of you, has a box. You have a box. And it doesn't matter what the box looks like. It's what's inside that counts. All that matters is that you take your box out and that you start using it to deliver the love of Jesus to those around you. So here's my question. This week, what would you think about just praying and asking God to help you to know how best to deliver love to someone else in the church family? Maybe take time this week to think, okay, Lord, I want to deliver love. How do you want me to do it? How have you enabled me to best deliver love to someone else in the church family? And can you help me to do that this week? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what kind of box he wants you to best deliver love. And then, whatever the Holy Spirit reveals, just do it. It doesn't have to be this massively huge, amazing thing. It could be something simple. Something just easy and simple for you. And then just do it. And then next week, do it again. And next week, do it again. Ask the Holy Spirit, okay, I did this. This was awesome. And as you do that, you'll start discovering more and more joy of being able to deliver love in the box that God has given to you. Think about coming Sunday morning. Imagine this. Next Sunday morning, you get up. As you're getting ready for church, what can I do today to show love to someone? Imagine going to church with that specific purpose. Today, I'm going to church to worship, to study, to learn about God, but I'm also going to church specifically so that I can display love to someone, and you have someone in mind that you want to share love with. That is pursuing the best gift for you. What is the best way I can deliver love? As we grow in using our spiritual gifts, the way that God has designed those gifts to be used, it will be amazing how our body of believers will be built up to glorify God, to display his love for us and how we love one another. Let's have that mindset. What is the best way I can deliver love? And then grab a box and deliver it. And in doing so, you display the love of God in your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for reminding us of this amazing, amazing plan that you have in place for us to enable us to love one another. Amazing tools. Help us to use them in the right way. Help us to use them in a way that builds up, that cares for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and in so doing, glorify you, to reflect you in our lives. Help us to do that, please. In Jesus' name, amen.